Good to see you all. Big Rob's in the house.
Good morning.
Hey guys, just make sure I'm letting everybody in. Got the hiccups today. Thompson, yes, Seth, good to see you, man. Okay, we're all flying in today. This is a good number. Okay, boys, while I'm letting everybody in, we're gonna go around the houses and see how a few people are getting on, see how the week's going. Excuse me, randomly got the hiccups today. Seth, give us an update, man. How are you feeling? How's the week gone for you? Anything that's top of mind for you right now?
You talking to me? Sorry, man. How are you?
Good, man. Just the hiccups are killing me
Welcome to
off.
this. Welcome to the States. Welcome. Hold your breath for 10 seconds. Suck in for 10, hold for 10, and slowly blow out for 10.
Yeah, I'm gonna this might be a long call by the sound of it, boys, if I'm struggling with this all day.
Yeah. All good here, man. Sorry, I'm not going to be with you guys this week. Down in sunny Florida. I just got back from there. Wins recently. Greg and I kind of settled on some goals for me for the next 90 days. So we've got that in laser focus. And he and I are going to do a 3-day, anybody want to join? We're going to do a 3-day fast starting Sunday night.
Nice.
Never done it before.
That'll be good, man. That'll
And
be good.
so,
I've never done a 3-day fast, but I've done a 24-hour fast for sure. 3-day, you're gonna have some benefits from that for sure. I'll pr probably know why he's doing it, but yeah, second day might kick you in the backside a little bit, but you'll have some benefits from that for sure.
yeah. So other than that, all good.
Were there any purposes for doing it?
I asked him about it, asked him if he ever done it, has ever done it, and said I was interested in doing it. And we're gonna start off for me. I'm gonna cut 15 pounds in the next, we'll call it 3 or 4 months. And so I figured, well, we're gonna just kickstart. I'm gonna kickstart it that way.
Yeah. Good,
That's
man.
just it's hard. I want to do something hard.
Yeah. Mate, so you're gonna get a lot of benefit. Obviously, the first load of body weight you're gonna drop is obviously gonna be lots of water. You're gonna deplete some muscle glycogen there as well for sure. As long as you're not doing crazy volume of training, you're not gonna tap into muscle and things like that. So the what you are gonna stimulate is quite a bit of autophagy, right? So any sort of senescent cells that are ruminating, you can start clearing those out, which will be phenomenal. So it'll probably be preceding, even though it's going to be something hard and something to focus on, kickstart fat loss. Excuse me, you're probably setting yourself up for some really good mitochondrial function afterwards as well. So as long as you follow up with that plan afterwards and put some good things in place, which I know you and Greg will do, you'll be in a phenomenal place, man.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to do a cycle of SS31 followed by some Samatsi and maybe a little low dose of Retta. Yeah, so I think that's going to be the protocol.
Mate, if you run that, you'll be very successful. Obviously done right with the proper sort of weeks on and cycling off and things like that. Obviously, you'll be following sound nutrition guidelines as well, but I've run that in the past myself, personally, and with a couple of clients as well, and it's been very successful in terms of those three specific peptides. There are a couple of others that could be mixed in as well. Carnitine could be not so much a peptide, but carnitine can be used pretty well. And I'm looking at some research at the moment currently on something called BAM15, which has been shown to be very good. But yeah, man, that stack there is very, very good.
Yeah, as long as I could stick myself with a needle, I'll be all right.
Nah, you'll be fine, man. You'll be fine. Good, good. So we've got a newcomer coming to the group today. Jared just signed up this last week. He's going to be kicking off with myself over the next I think on 30th. So Jared, why don't you introduce yourselves to the guys and let them know where you're from and what you're signing up for and what you're getting yourself into with myself.
Hey guys, can you hear me?
Yep, loud and clear, man.
Yeah, so I'm just commuting. So my name's Jared from Vancouver, Canada. I currently manage a personal training gym here. I did muscle camp with Gavin and last year, longtime follower. And yeah, looking at tightening myself up, going to 40 years old.
Good, man. Mate, great to have you, man. I'm looking forward to catching up on our call next week. I think next Thursday we're going to be grabbing our call. And we're going to be setting up for some great success. We've got some good big goals to hit, especially lining up for your 40th. And we'll have some big wins, brother. Don't you worry. Good to have you part of the group, man. Boys, any other big wins for you in the last 7 days? If you can drop into the chat for me, I want to see what's going on. I know, Shalash, you've been training. How are you feeling? You've been traveling, sorry. How are you feeling now with the immune protocol I sent through? Did you manage to get anything locked in?
This.
There you go.
No. I took most of the supplement stack you sent.
Yep.
The rest, by the time I got here, I was probably pretty much going to be flying to Tampa. So I didn't even, but the vitamin C, also my wife had some Manuka honey, the NAC, Greg had me on before anyway. So luckily I had a lot of that stack already there, and within 48 hours, it helped me a lot. Beauty. So, and then part of the jet lag protocol you guys have me on, you know, and just the flying, you know, with oxidative stress, taking that, my recovery from the, especially like any flights, like flying 15 hours, my recovery is night and day. Yeah, and even getting over any like colds, things like that, it used to take me 7 to 10 days. Now, like 72 hours, you know, 4 days max. And I'm pretty much back to, I may be, you know, a little bit of snot still stuck in my nose, but I'm training as hard as I was before.
Beauty, man. Mate, that's great to hear, man. And it shows, obviously, it's going to be a little bit of a segue into what I'm going to discuss today in terms of engineering your body transformation, right? So we have to look at, I don't want to be going on the same thing of like templates for training and templates for saunas and ice baths and like recovery modalities. Everybody knows all that stuff. So I've got a little framework I want us to cover today in terms of how you can optimize working with us like to a T, so we can give you the exact things that you need to win each week. And I'm going to be bringing you in, like maybe a couple of you are just asking to share a few things so we can optimize that as well, just so you can get a little bit of a framework in your head on how it can work and how you can step forward into next week or the next month, whatever it is. But just, that's a good point that Shalash just brought up there, right? So you can imagine he travels a lot, like a lot. So one of his bottlenecks is always going to be recovering from oxidative stress from flights. Flights are one of the biggest things for oxidative stress. And then you take a look at his work, which is very stressful as well. And he's very successful in his job and so on. And there's only so much functional capacity and room to maneuver in terms of how to recover from that stuff. Cause you want to push in the gym. You want to push for all these goals and these results. We want to change our body and our health and our longevity, but it has to come a point where we have to change something to allow us to recover from all this other stuff. We can't actually just remove or take away. I can't ask Shalash to stop traveling, right? I can't ask him to stop doing his job. You know, so we have to be smart in how we approach things in terms of how we're going to layer the next step first, and not being like, yes, we're going to go 100 miles an hour, but 100 miles an hour on the right thing right now to allow you to get ready for the next thing I'm going to layer on top. So it's always a setup. I look at the long-term objective and go, well, this is where I want to be. This is where I want to be optimized, but I can't be there yet. There's a step-by-step process. We need to prepare you to get there. And each step needs a different preparation process, right? So, and then having things like crop up where we might have illness come about, right? So I was in similar process to yourself, Shalash, getting here to Tampa. I'm not sure whether you guys have followed me on my stories over the last 24, 48 hours. I flew it. So the normal flight from the UK direct to Tampa is about 10 hours. And flight was going well. I didn't even notice anything until we were coming into land. And when we were coming in, I was like, I've been on here longer than 10 hours, like 12 hours. And we've been circling Tampa for 2 hours. I didn't even notice. I was reading some research stuff on my laptop. And we were circling because there's a storm over Florida, over especially this side of Florida. And they closed Tampa Airport and they diverted us to Miami. So we landed in Miami, and then it was, we had to get our luggage, and they had organized a bus to take us from Miami to Tampa. And in my head, I'm like, oh, it's gonna be 3 hours. I've driven it before. And it took 6.5 hours. So I didn't get into the house until 4:45 a.m. And then I had to be up at 6:30 to drive to Orlando to meet somebody for a meeting. And I was like, right, what am I going to do today? Because there's no way I could have gone and trained if I wanted to or had to. But I was like, what am I going to do to optimize today? Now, luckily I had some peptides. So I definitely took some thymus and alpha-1 for immune system, upregulated my immune system a little bit. But one thing, if you've got sleep deprivation, especially with jet lag, looking at what we know now from creatine, I'm a big believer in taking very high dose creatine. And I'm talking like 20 grams. And I've been doing that for the past 2 days just to make sure I'm catching up with sleep. I don't do this a lot when I do travel, but if I do cross time zones, which are like this, and I do have lack of sleep, I'll do about 100 milligrams of modafinil for the first day or so, just to allow me to kick into the day. At the start of the day, so my dopamine's high and it's recycling there, so I'm keeping dopamine around for a little bit longer. And then at the end of the day, I'm more calm. I'll do obviously higher dose magnesium, things like that. And literally, since I've been doing the 20 grams of creatine when landing, my brain function's been on all day, and I slept for the last night for 6.5 to 7 hours uninterrupted. And I haven't had any tiredness throughout the day at all, like zero. And normally I'm flagging at some point. So we might start stacking that in there for you, Shalash, when you're traveling that much. Now, it might mean you have to travel with white powder in your bag. So I'm not sure how that's going to go down. But it's a game changer. Like, it's been a phenomenal game changer. And when we look at, I know, Seth, you've been talking about mitochondrial stuff, where looking at SS31, looking at MOTC and some RETA. For a mitochondrial thing as well, we're looking at how creatine affects mitochondria more so now as well. So we know it's got that buffering capacity to help performance and muscle contraction and those things. But now when we actually look at the oxidative stress components of the mitochondria, where we're pushing it hard, we've seen now in research that creatine can have a great effect on that type of redox pattern as well. So it's one of the possibly now the most researched supplement in the world in history. And we're only seeing more and more benefits come as they start to analyze all these different pathways in the body and how it affects everybody, right? So mitochondria, oxidative stress, we're seeing now at the 20 gram intake also, we're seeing that it's actually reversing memory and Alzheimer's. So when people are losing their memory, they're starting to regain some of their memory back when they're dosing at 20 gram doses every day. So it has this whole cascade of benefits, not just from performance in the gym, which is what we always used to take it for. I'm going to get jacked if I take creatine type of thing. Now we're seeing it's got all these other benefits when we start to dose it a little bit higher. So I'm a big believer in using that for recovery now, more so at the higher doses for recovery aspects too. So any questions on that, Shalash, or any guys on questions on that for now?
You know, when you take the creatine, you take 20 grams in one lump sum, or would you break it up into 210 grams?
Good question.
Like especially for like your sleep, your travel, you know, how would you do it?
So typically 20 grams is a lot to take in one dose. Now the side effects people do get when they take higher doses, it can have some uncomfortable side effects digestively. So you might be running straight to the bathroom within like 30, 45 minutes afterwards. And it just like can flush straight through. So it's got an osmolality thing where it's going to attract a lot of water to the gut when you take it at that high doses. But mainly what I've been researching on is because it's crystallized still. So it's not like emulsified as yet. So especially when you like, let's say for example, dry scoop it or something. So one tweak that people have found is if you mix it with warm water, not hot water, but just warm. So you can mix it through and it dissolves much more rapidly. And then taking that in a high dose, if you wanted to, seems to work very, very well. So you could do two 10 gram doses at that for total 20 grams. But if you struggle with that, I would probably split it into 4 or 5 gram doses. If you struggle digestively, start there. And at the minute I'm able to handle 10 gram doses. I probably wouldn't recommend 20 straight out of the gate, but just play with that dose and see how you feel. Yeah. And I typically I'll do 5 to 10 grams in the morning, like first thing when I wake up. You can mix it in with your coffee. There was a little bit of a thing where people saying it doesn't absorb well if you mix it with caffeine and so on, but that's been with research now. I think they did research out of South Korea where they did it with caffeine and they saw it was totally fine. Everybody absorbed it well and their uptake in creatine was totally fine. It didn't do anything. Take 20 grams every day, I train and then put in my yeah, perfect. Lewis, that's great, man. 20 grams a day is great. Keep running that for sure. Yeah, dosing like split through the day wise. Typically I'll do 5 to 10 grams in the morning. I'll do 5 grams pre-workout or 10 grams pre-workout and then five grams post. If you take it with carbohydrate, the uptake might even be faster as well. So if you're having carbs pre and post workouts, definitely stack a lot of it then, and that'll absorb pretty well. So that was a little, didn't see it coming, but a little masterclass on creatine. Obviously he's doing the rounds on social media a lot now. Everybody's talking about creatine, but rightly so, it's a great one. So yeah, when you travel more, chillax, just make sure you pack some of that in there. So in terms of training and recovery, there's a couple of things that I've written down in terms of frameworks when we're looking at execution. How many of you guys on this call right now, I know a few of you got your videos off at the moment. I know Rob, you're on the treadmill, all good. If you can type on the treadmill, if you want to get any questions in here as well, that feel free to type it in the message inbox in the chat so I can take a look for you. But how many of you on this call have ever struggled with execution? So it doesn't matter what training plan you're on, recovery modalities that's in place, but typically execution is normally the limiting factor that some people struggle with, right? Everybody has the plan laid out in front of them. They've got the nutrition plan. They've got how many steps they got to hit a day, water intake. Phil, yeah, lately, right? So you're struggling with execution, correct? Okay, perfect. That's not a bad thing. As long as we can uncover what the limiting factor is and we put a system in place to help you follow through with it, I'm going to go through the framework with what I look at when this happens. It's only one of like 5 or 6 things. Sorry, my computer's going crazy. One sec, guys. There we go. There's only 5 or 6 things that I bring it and boil it down to. And if we address the 1 or 2 things that's happening, you're unlocked. Like we can address that straight away, right? So anybody else struggle with execution at certain times? Chillax, you're a machine at the moment, man. You have no problem with execution at the minute, unless you're on a flight. So I think you're set, but
it took me 3-4 weeks to really get in there, and then you kind of build the confidence, and you know, and you're constantly tweaking, you know, the cues you use and the videos, and you even when I send the videos now, when I look at myself, I'm like, yeah, I gotta do this better, I gotta do that better, and I already know what you're gonna say about it. So
what am I gonna say, brother?
You know, it's like on certain videos, like, yeah, I should have got deeper, yeah. You know, slow it down, maybe take a little bit of weight off. Because, you know, the way I think most of us, maybe I could speak for everyone. Everyone wants to throw on weight.
Yeah,
we all want to kind of lift more weight. You know, that's always we've been, you know, bred into our brains, lift heavier, you know, and that's the fine, you know, point A to point B. But I guess the way, you know, you train me, it's very different. It's almost the mechanism of, you know, of the lift and, you know, time under tension and so many, you know, other things, and actually using the muscle instead of just the strength portion of it.
Yeah, man, that's normal, man. Like, because by default, hypertrophy is simple, right? It's very, very simple. We have to just get to that point where reps are slowing down and the muscle is creating that mechanical tension. So you're not slowing the rep down on purpose. It's involuntary. It's slowing down because those muscle fibers are getting taxed and they're struggling to finish that movement, right? Because the weight's getting is super heavy. So when we just break that down as that simple fact, then knowing that I can get that slow down speed with low reps or high reps, it doesn't matter. As long as I get to that point where those last 3 to 5 repetitions, I'm voluntarily trying to finish that repetition, but the involuntary action is getting very slow. I'm recruiting the muscle fibers that I need to recruit. That's effective repetition stimulus, right? So that's effective hypertrophy stimulus. That's what we want. But there's things that precede that we need to keep in mind. So execution is going to be one, right? I was training at the gym today, and a big strapping bodybuilder came over. He's like, can I work in the sets? I was on a hack squat. He's like, can I work in sets? I'm like, yeah, for sure. Let's get it on. And we were performing the same exercise, and I ended up cueing him to like basically coaching him through. Like, he went through some stuff with Ben a couple of weeks ago, so he knew certain things. But like, even in the moment, in his head, he's like, I got to get reps in. I got to hit these repetitions. I'm like, no, stop. Slow down. Use your feet. Keep that back flat. Like, you need to be executing correctly. If you want a stimulus on your quads, make sure you're doing this. Lock that in, and I'll help you get the reps out, like, if you need to. But if you execute that correctly, the goal isn't to shift weight. It's to make sure you get that stimulus right on the quads that you want to train. Otherwise, what's going to happen? My low back's going to come off. I'm going to compensate, right? So even still, for bodybuilders like this, it's still like A to B for sure and getting reps done. But if that stimulus is shifting elsewhere, I'm not growing the muscle I want to grow. It's impossible. Like, something else is doing the work that apart from the muscle I want to train, right? So that's where we have to go back and go, well, what's the limiting factor in this? At that point, it could be a metabolic stimulus that he's lacking. It could be a nervous system thing that he's lacking. It could be range of motion. It could be strength in that range of motion. So that dictates what type of tempo I put in there. Like, for example, right now, Shilash, you've got a lot of pauses going on. I'm holding you in positions. I'm getting range of motion in certain positions. So I'm providing that, I'm removing that roadblock of you not being able to access the muscle at specific ends of the range. So now we can tax more of that muscle and build more of that muscle, right? So we're working on that first. Remember when I started today, I want to know where you want to go. I know the end goal, but the limiting factor right now is that range of motion, that pliability in the tissue. We need to unlock that in terms of mobility and strengthen those ranges before I take you there, because that's where I'm going to go. Not so much A to B, but it's like, now we're looking at progressive overload. Now muscle building is 5 to 8 reps. That's the rep bracket. You use a weight that you can do for 5 3 sets, and we're not going to increase that load until you do 3 sets of 8. Then the load goes up and you go back down to 5. That's it. Like, you rinse and repeat that. That's basic periodization for hypertrophy. It's simple. But to get there, you're going to have to put things in place with execution, with the right weekly training split, the right energy systems, right? So if it's metabolic, this guy was taxed doing those repetitions. He needs a metabolic system to be able to recover in between sets for that. He was taking 5 minutes between sets. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, well, now there's one limiting factor I can see that needs to put in place. You know, he's like, there's no way I could do a 20 rep set. I was like, right, you need to do 20 reps. Sometimes you got to do that. Build your work capacity metabolically, you know? So we're always analyzing, what's the limiting factor? Have we prepped it? Are we ready for the next step? And then we move on, right? So that goes into what I'm going to talk about now in terms of the adherence checklist to the work that I'm going to do. I know we've been discussing your execution on this, and that's where you right now, Shilash, you've been on everything. Nutrition, the right foods at restaurants. We've changed certain things in terms of nutrition. You just executed everything like really, really well. And it shows in the last 4 to 6 weeks, your body's changed dramatically in 4 to 6 weeks. So like I said, the only time you're going to struggle with executing the whole plan is when you're flying, like, because you can't physically train, you can't physically do everything if you're on a 15-hour flight, right? So that's one of your bottlenecks. So we have to put a plan in place for that. And what I mean with the total execution of the whole plan in terms of, okay, what's your daily top five? Can you train this week? Can you hit the nutrition this week? All of that stuff, like Phil might be struggling with that right now, right? So there might be one thing he's struggling with. There might be 5 things he's struggling with. And I'll typically lock it down to about 7 things. So typically it comes down to this, is clarity on what you've got to do. Are you clear on the exact thing you have to do each and every day, each and every week? That's step number one. Number two is the skill. How do I do it? Do you know how to do it? Right? Do you know how to go in and execute in the gym? So that's why we've got the videos in the library. Do you know how to execute your meal plan? Do you know how to do all of these things, right? I'll bring you in a second, Phil, because I want to make sure we help you today, right? It's like timing. So when do I need to do these things? right? And then, do you know how to reach out if you're stuck? Or do you reach out if you're stuck? Do you go quiet? Do you communicate effectively? So it's one of those things for sure. Like, it could be any of those things so far. And then it's, do you understand why this matters? Are there any roadblocks? So Shilash's roadblock right over the last 24, 48 hours, one, he was flying, two, he was sick. So that's a roadblock. So we had to unclear that, send him his immune stack straight away, 48 hours, he's feeling way better. And then the last thing is, do you actually want to do it? So it's typically one of those seven things. Clarity. Do you have the skill to do it? Do you have the time to do it? Do you know how to reach out for support, or do you reach out for support? Do you know why it matters for you? Is there any friction or roadblock right now in terms of execution that we can get you unstuck on? And then do you actually want to complete what we need to set out, even if we tweak the program, right? So it's typically one of those seven. So out of those, Phil, would you be open to sharing in terms of any of those things that you're stuck with, or if there's anything you're stuck with right now in terms of executing the whole plan?
Oh, sure. Yeah, the training I can execute pretty much to a T, and I can execute everything else to a T. I lost my job like a week ago, week and a half ago. And of course, leading up to it, there was a lot of turmoil and stuff like that. So I just haven't wanted to diet at all.
Yeah.
And just, I'm normally pretty disciplined, but I mean, it just went way out the window. And so I've just been seafood dieting.
Yeah. So that's, I would probably look at that, and I would hazard a guess that's more of a tolerance thing in terms of like struggle here emotionally. That's an emotional thing to go through, man. Like, if you've lost your job and all of a sudden, like, the thing that's going to bring you back and just give you that sensation of like feeling better in the moment, you're just coping at the moment, right? So some people, they cope with different strategies. Your one right now is some food. Some people do with alcohol. Like, some people lose their job and all of a sudden it's like they're half a bottle deep in a Jack Daniels, right? Or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Your coping strategy right now is food. No problem. So all we've got to do now is start to realign a few things, put some strategies in place, address it with your coach, and then we'll put some strategies in place. Because I'm assuming, can I assume that you would still want to still get the results that you want to work for, right?
Yes. This is something I'm going through. It's not something I'm going to be stuck in.
Yeah. Good, man.
You know what I mean? So, yeah. So. Good. Wife and I, yeah, we just went off doing our own thing for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, turning around the aircraft carrier now.
Yeah. That's good, man. It's tough to open up to that type of stuff as well, especially as men. Like, we want to make sure, like, I find this, like, sometimes we want to reach out, I got it, I can do it. Do you know what I mean? And all of a sudden it's like you're deep in a hole that you don't want to be in. And sometimes we can't sometimes admit to go, I need some help with this. But that's all we're here for as coaches. We want to make sure that we get you unstuck. And I'm sure I can speak for all of the coaches on this, and maybe some of my clients that are on the call, that if you're ever stuck with anything, and this is where that support comes in, like, communicate as much as possible, because there's nothing we can't uncover and help and support you with. If you're willing to put the work in, we'll go 100% with you all the way, right? And sometimes it's admitting the fact, okay, you ate to cope right now. Okay, how do we overcome that together, right?
Yeah.
I know I've done it in the past. It doesn't make you a bad person. We just make sure we address it and we notice the triggers that drive it.
Yes. It's just a phase, my friend. We're not staying this way.
Say that again, Phil.
It is just the phase, my friend. This will not stay this way.
Exactly. Exactly. I know, Chris, I know we've uncovered stuff like that. Chris Clark was on the call now. We've uncovered this stuff in the past as well, that Chris now knows triggers on certain things. And when he hits that tolerance point, it's like, shit, it's the fan in the day. Now he does certain things to make sure he overcomes that. And he's like, he's locked in. His results are absolutely flying. You know, where we've got him to a point now where he's so physically fit. If he does cope with certain foods on a specific day, it's like pissing in the ocean, man. It's not going to make a difference, because he's so metabolically fit. He can churn through those calories, no problem. His body soaks it up and he just does things to help him cope. So, and it's typically in that moment, is putting things in to your plan that you cope with, that remove you from the sympathetic state. because it's a stressful state that you're going through. It's a stress you can't manage in that moment. So it's not about pushing. Sometimes it's not about pushing harder in the gym. And yeah, it might be that you couple stress with activity, but sometimes it could be a physical sympathetic activity if you need it. But sometimes it's more a parasympathetic activity as well. So it might be more zone 1 to 2 training. It might be walking. It might be breath work, whatever that is, just to bring your calm state in. At the time, just making sure we do maybe some higher sympathetic work. It depends how stressed you are, right? And how much you can recover from that. Because if I push you a little bit more to in terms of like physical, very hard physical activity, that might drive cravings up even more. And to cope even more with that, you're going to straight go back to the food again, you know? So it's one of those catch-22s that we got to have the right protocol for the right thing.
Yeah. And you can get momentum in the wrong direction too.
You can. You can, man. For sure. Yeah.
Put the brakes on there.
Yeah. And boy, I think I've spoken on this before, and I know Ben's done it before as well, but like if you look at today's world that we live in, it's so different to, like, if you look at physiologically the way the human body has maneuvered themselves over the last 1,000 years, genetically we're still the same. Like, we haven't changed our DNA that much, right? So if we look at how we handle stress, like let's say back in the day when we were cavemen, for example, right? Typically, our main stressors were going to be, well, I need to go and find some food, or I need to fight something that's attacking me, or I need to go and attack something to eat it, right? So if you think about that, those are stressful environments, but they were the only stressors that we had. But to go and overcome those stressors, we had to move. So if I'm going to fight something, either to kill it and eat it, or fight it off me to save my family or whatever, I physically got to be strong. So I'm fighting something. I'm doing something very, very physical, or I'm going to run and go and chase something, right? Or run away from something, or I need to walk a long duration to go grab water from a river or whatever it is. There's a lot of physical activity with that, right? So straight away, your stresses are becoming coupled with physical activity. They're paired together. Whereas today, what's the hardest thing that we do today? It's work stress, emails, like a lot of stuff isn't involving a lot of physical activity unless you're working on a building site or whatever it's going to be physically. But if we look at all those stresses, the job stress right now for Phil, we have to make sure that we pair that and couple that with some kind of activity to allow that stress to be paired up and utilized in the body and dispersed from the body in some way. Otherwise, it's going to manifest. You're going to hit that tolerance point. And typically, what do we do at the end of the day? We sit down. We sit. How do we get food right now? I did this today. I finished training at the gym. I was like, I had to go and pick up some guys. We got some killer t-shirts for the camp this weekend. I'll just let you know. We got some new design t-shirts. So all the guys in the camps are going to grab some of those. So I had to go and get the t-shirts. I was like, right, I got calls this afternoon. I haven't got time to go anywhere to eat. What do I do? Uber Eats. It was good food, to be fair. I had chicken. I got vegetables. I had rice delivered to the house. But I didn't have to go anywhere, right? But if I'm in a stressful environment and my head's going, I could order a pizza here in 2 seconds. I don't have to get off the sofa. See, it's on my lap in 20 minutes, right? And there's no physical activity involved in that, right? So it's looking at that type of system in terms of like what Phil's struggling with right now. He needs to get support, get unstuck. He knows what to do. But it might be that there's specific things that you do when those triggers hit. What protocol are we going to use right now in terms of when that stressor comes in, when you get that craving, like, I need to go and eat something because I'm stressed out. I don't know what step. And typically it's fear. What is the next step for me? If I've lost my job, what's the next step? Right. So it's going to be fear. What do I do at this age where, like, I've got to get a new job? Or, and this is something I might be discussing on the camp this weekend, because there's a lot going on in the world right now in terms of like AI, all that type of stuff as well. And how do we move forward into that, into the future, right? So one of the taglines on our t-shirts this weekend is called Future Ready. We want to build everybody in this community here right now to be future ready. What's going to happen in the future? It's uncertain in many aspects. It's exciting in many aspects. It's fearful in many aspects. But what we do know is we've got full control over what goes on inside here. Longevity, health, that's something we can't control. So we have to be ready for whatever happens, but we have to be ready inside here to manage that stress, right? So would you agree on those seven, guys? Those seven steps? Typically, if you can't follow through with something, it's typically you don't know what to do, you don't know how to do it, you don't know when to do it, you're stuck and you don't know how to ask for support or communication. You don't know why it matters. With, let's say, for example, I put in Chilash's program, I've got him doing plyometrics, or he's on a 5-day split instead of a 3-day split. And he's like, why am I doing this, man? Like, I don't get it. But he doesn't ask that, right? Or I didn't explain it effectively. He might not follow through with that effectively, right? So it's something, he's not understanding why that matters. And then is something blocking you that we don't know about yet? What's going to block you from doing any of those things, even though you're truly 100% committed? And then lastly, do you want to do it? Like, it's typically one of those things, right? So is there anybody on the call right now stuck at any one of those 7 points? I know, Phil, we've covered yourself. Make sure you, obviously, you're communicating with your coach on that type of stuff right now, Phil, yeah? Good work, man. Anybody on this call right now stuck with any of those 7? Sorry, I'm just reading through some of the messages here. Rob, they're judging if you grab a spear, Rob? Is that true, man?
Yeah, run down the streets, even in Australia, they seem to call the cops on me if I go hunting my food. Our chance coming off mute, the one that I'm still always gets me, it's, I think, similar to Phil, I'm a stress eater. So yeah. I'm on from like 4:30 in the morning. That's when I train before my kids wake up. I get the kids out the door. I work all day, get the kids a routine, run around kids' sports. And that's just on. And I am tight all through that period. I eat well. Like, I do most of the cooking in our house, so I eat well. And the danger zone for me is I got 4 young kids. I get them all to bed. And it's like, it's the dopamine of like, I need something now to like reward myself for getting through the day. And that's where I know it's my danger zone. I've got techniques. Like, sometimes I just brush my teeth straight after dinner to sort of signal it. There's no more food coming. I'll make a hot cocoa, like a literally cooking cocoa that's got like 0 calories and bitter. It tastes like shit. It kind of looks black and warm. But that's, I probably am dialed in 5-6 nights a week, and about consistently 1 night a week. It's just like I don't have the energy levels left. And my brain goes, it's like, just have a little snack of something. And you know what it's like? If you're in a deficit and then you start, I'm like, God, it's hard. You grab one little bit of chocolate and then I'm like, I'll just eat until nothing left.
Yeah. So struggling around that. Is it once or twice a week that it's like something small coming in?
Yeah. And it's normally like pretty consistently Friday, Saturday, end of the week. You know, Saturday, that busiest day with the family, like you get to the end and it's like, it's almost like celebrate. I think my brain is just reaching for something to celebrate the milestone. You know, I don't drink anymore, so it's not like crack a beer on a Friday. It's almost like something to fill that gap.
Yeah. In all honesty, like if it sounds like you're dialed in 95% of the time. So if it's something small, I wouldn't think that would do any damage to the results you're getting unless you're going overboard and it's like you go all out. Like if you get that, has anybody seen a film called Old School? With the, when it hits the lips, it tastes so good. And all of a sudden you're like, you're streaking down the road, got like with no clothes on and you're going crazy. It's like, unless it's one of those situations, I think you're going to be fine. But typically it depends on your day, right? So similar to Phil, right? You've probably hit a point where you've got to that tolerance point where you're going to need, like you're just depleted. So that's the coping strategy towards the end of that week. So it sounds like yours is towards the end of the week. Right. So typically what I do, this is the way I've strategized my days in terms of how I eat. And I get to the end of the day, I'm like, I'm done. Like there's, I can't physically do anymore. I might have more calories to play with you than you do potentially. I'm not too sure. But the way I end my day, if I need something like that, I'm not sure whether people have followed any of my stories on Instagram or anything, but I started cooking this when Ben made it for me. We were traveling and we would do egg whites, a couple of eggs, and we use either, you get, you know, those chocolate greens powders that you can get powdered ones of those, or I'll get the Vitals chocolate collagen powder, which mixes very, very well. And we'll basically scramble up egg whites with eggs till it's like, it's not bone dry by any means, but it's like still pretty soft. And then I'll turn the gas off and then I'll pour over the top of that chocolate collagen powder. And it's like tasty dark chocolate style as well. And then we'll mix that in so it goes like a chocolate creamy scrambled egg. And then we'll put frozen berries on top of that. So like berries, chocolate, lot, like I'm talking, you're talking about 100 grams of protein in this one meal, depending on how much egg whites and stuff like that you do. Obviously, we've got collagen powder on there, which is going to top the protein up too. But that's a meal. If you get that down, like you're done, man. There's just no way. There's no way. But typically what you'll see is if you can front end a lot of your calories towards the beginning of the day, and I'm talking 80% of your protein before that time of the day, in terms of your aspect is towards the night, you're probably not going to eat much food after that. Your hunger cues and your hunger signals are just flat. You're like, I'm done. And that's where it's finding that sweet spot where if you're in the deficit, because is it body composition you're chasing right now, Rob?
Yeah, so I did sort of over my time with a body composition at the start, got pretty low, went into a deliberate sort of lean gaining phase, and then in another cut deficit again now. And I've tried, last time I was obviously starting at a pretty lower state, so it was a pretty long 9 months. This time I said, Dan, I want to go like hard, fast, really like cut some of that fat and then get back into a lean gaining phase. So it's that deficit.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, so it might be obviously with the shit through the week, like you hit that tolerance point. But I would then strategize on those days to stack a lot of the protein around the areas that you're going to struggle with. So I would probably use something like that meal. And Lewis, I know we're going to find some quick meals for you to, I'm going to film up some meals that I make prep. I might even write them out for you, so it's a little bit easier. I'll get that written out for you. But typically all my meals take, Lewis, the reason I'm talking about this now is so I'll coincide it with the egg meal, because it literally takes 5 minutes, no longer. And I'm talking, you're getting 100 grams of protein in one sitting if you organize this well. So typically I'll do 500 grams of egg whites. I'll crack a couple of eggs in. So let's say two eggs. So you got some fats in there as well. And then all you're doing is lightly getting that going in a pan. I'll use some coconut oil in there as well, just to keep it like nice and mixed. And then as that starts to come together, I'm scrambling them out, don't cook it till it's dry. Let it sit. So it's still soft and it's still a tiny bit runny. Let it sit. And then you pour the chocolate protein over the tops of the collagen protein and just let it sit there. And then that starts to warm up and go a little bit sticky on top. And then you mix it together and it all comes together nice. So scrambled eggs takes like 2 minutes. Now I'm talking 500 grams of egg whites, so it's going to take a tiny bit longer than that. But once you've done that, whack it into your bowl, pour on some frozen berries, a little bit of cinnamon on top if you want as well. Mate, you do that at the end of the day, Rob, you're going to be set, brother, because you got that chocolate hit. It's a lot of protein. You're not going to be eating anything after that for sure. Sometimes I'll stack in like flaxseed in there as well, so that added a little bit more fiber. So I need a little bit more fiber in my diet due to I keep my LPA a little bit lower, so I need a little bit more fiber in my diet. Which has helped a lot. But yeah, so that's a little bit more calories, but that's going to fill you out as well in terms of the fiber content. So you can add a few other bits in like that as well. So flax seeds, chia seeds, or whatever you want to do there too. So just little like go-to strategies like that. And I try and make all my meals within 5 to 10 minutes. So I'm a fan of making sure my veggies are in the fridge. So I'll cook up a lot of my veggies in the oven throughout the week. So there's a ton of them. And I typically just make bowls. So I have rice ready to go. I'll have veggies ready to go. And all I'm doing is cooking up the meat or the protein that I want to add to that meal. And it's done in 5 minutes. Simple, right? At the end of the day, if I'm looking for food at the end of the day, then I'll be making sure I'm maximizing protein and vegetables and all those things around that time of day where I'm like, I'm stuffed, I'm done.
I love that approach. I think I'll give that one a try. One that I have been doing is just a Greek yogurt. Skip a casein and mix that up, a bit of almond milk sometimes just to mix it up, and then handful of berries on top. And that's enough to almost trick my brain into like, oh, I'm having ice cream. Or
Sometimes it's strategies like that to just pull you out of it. And it's not like a bad meal. Like remember Shalash sending me like, I've gone a bit overboard today, and like he showed me this thing that he ate. I'm like, damn, that's just whole food, man. Like, you're using whole foods. If that's your off meal, like, we're in a good place, you know. So like, Rob, if you're using 0% Greek yogurt and it's got good probiotics in there, you're adding some collagen powder to that and you're topping the protein up there, you've got berries in there, bit of cinnamon on top, whatever it is, that's still whole food you're getting down into your system, right? So it's quality food and you're still sticking to the calories you need to hit. You're in a good place, bro. Don't sweat it. Good, man. So Lewis, I know you're one of your blockers right now. So if you're blocked or there's a little bit of friction around meals and like having quick meals to go to, right? So out of your seven, you're stuck and you need support with faster foods that you can prep on the go. Cause I know you got to cook multiple meals. So in terms of cooking for your wife, you're fantastic, man. You're supporting your family. You're making sure your wife gets the food she wants. And then it's making the foods to support you too. So I would recommend, I'm definitely going to get some written out for you, but following the methods on that to make food very, very fast. And one of my all-time go-tos, again, I'll reference Ben on this one because he's got set. There's a few seven-minute meals we got filmed, so we'll maybe see if we can get those into the group as well. I'll find where they are. They are edited. We'll see if we can put them in the WhatsApp group. One of them, when we go traveling, where we do education across different countries and stuff, we'll typically rent Airbnbs. And every time we go to a different city or a different country, we always have a checklist of what we do. So we'll pick the Airbnb that's within a certain mile radius of the gyms we're going to train. So see the gym we're training in that club, or we'll find the best gym that we want to train in the city. And typically it's like old school meathead bodybuilding, great bodybuilding gyms that we want to train in. So we'll always pick an Airbnb around that. We'll make sure that we can get food delivered to the house. We always cook our own meals when we're traveling. And typically on that food shopping list, we always have go-tos. Grass-fed beef, eggs, egg whites, collagen, arugula, beets, berries. Those are the top ones on the list, always. So the reason we go close to the gym is at lunchtime, we're not stuck to going, what restaurant are we going to go to? What shit food am I going to have to pick? We just drive 5 minutes back to the house. We put the pan on straight away. We'll be roasting off the ground beef, the grass-fed beef. As that's grilling off, that's in the pan. I'm putting arugula on the plate, fresh. Olive oil over the top, beets on top of that. Beef goes on, done. Maybe some sauerkraut. That's typically on the shopping list as well. So we do sauerkraut or something like that as well. And that's it. It's done in literally 5 minutes. Like as the beef is cooking, I'm just prepping the rest of it on the plate. Beets go on, arugula goes on, olive oil over the top, eat my meat. Simple. That's it. And then the other meal we always go to is the chocolate eggs that I just explained to Rob. Like very, very simple. Now, as you start to transition, your taste buds will start to change to more whole food-based stuff, right? So typically when we've been used to eating easier foods to digest, I'm not saying you eat all processed foods by any means, but when there's a lot of sweetness and flavors that are packaged into these foods nowadays, it just takes a little bit of time to start getting your taste buds refreshed with all these whole foods, right? And all of a sudden, especially if you do something like Seth's going to do when he does a 3-day fast. Has anybody else done a 3-day fast before? No? Okay. Rob, you done a 3-day fast?
Yeah, I did it after watching Limitless with Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
I thought I'd give it a crack. It was the autophagy angle.
Yeah. I'll ask you this. How good did an apple taste after that?
That first meal afterwards was pretty good.
I'm telling you, man. That's one, if I need to reset somebody in terms of getting back to whole food, getting back to good quality nutrition, you do something like a hard diet, like a full-on hard diet, and get to lean body fat percentage, and you go hard and you've restricted calories for that time, you're eating bland food, and then you go and adding something like an apple, you're like, this is the best food I've ever tasted in my fucking life. Honestly, man, you don't need processed foods to have like that flavor. Oh, I've got to live. You got all the food you want in front of you, man. Like, and it tastes good. It's just all these other foods are just packaged with loads of processed stuff that's, and they're engineered to trigger those signals in your brain. That's how they get you to buy more of it. It's engineered to do that. If you ever want to watch a good documentary, it's on Netflix. I think it's called Salt, Fire, and Fat or something like that. And sugar. Yeah. Jerry, you said sugar, yeah? It's a lady, or sugar and fat, whatever it is. There's a lady, she's, I think she's an Italian lady or Italian-American, and she travels to different countries, and you can see how they start to use all these different items to make food taste better, right? And to be fair, she did go to, I think she went to Italy, she tasted Parmesan cheese, and the way they aged the cheese and so on, the flavor was just, so you imagine that's a fat, and the fat in the olive oil, so they went to an olive oil place, but she tasted the cheese and she started crying, like, because the flavor was so good. But the way you can get salt to enhance food flavor. So you think how processed food is now, you've got sugars in there that's gonna boom, drive that dopamine rush to your brain. And then you add salt to that to enhance that flavor even more. All of a sudden that dopamine comes down a little bit because that rush is so big. You want that hit again. Goes up again. I was explaining to Ben, I took my kids to Disney. I've been a few times, but what I found the most fascinating around this, if you go on a roller coaster, right? The adrenaline's up, your dopamine's like up, you come off, you're like, your heart rate's, that was amazing. Like you're feeling good. You're feeling, what happens within 5 minutes? You're like, right? You go down a little bit. What are in those theme parks to allow you to get that dopamine back up within 5 minutes? Coca-Cola, donuts, ice cream. Right? It's all of these hyper palatable foods to bring dopamine back up. That comes down. What are you going to do next? You're going to go on another roller coaster. You're literally on this dopamine roller coaster, typically a roller coaster all day when you're in these places. And that was fascinating to me to go, this is just a dopamine killer. Like, you're going to be crushed at the end of the day. And then you got to go back the next day and do it again. Right? So typically when I go there, I'll fast in the morning, I'll do caffeine, I'll do certain things. I found like little places around, I think it was Epcot, that I found like real good, like chicken, vegetables, and so on. So I found places that I could get good, decent whole food. But if you're going back to this, like if you look at hyper palatable foods, it's just doing this, right? But if you're doing something like Seth's going to do with this 3-day fast, or even a 24-hour fast, 48-hour fast, some kind of fast where you're removing all food away, you can do something called a protein sparing fast. Where typically it's going to be very lean meat, minimal veggies, and about 3 to 5 grams of EPA DHA fish oil a day. And you do that for maximum 2 weeks. I'd probably recommend 7 days to start. So you've still got protein there to keep muscle protein synthesis there. You're not going to lose muscle on this. You will lose a lot of body water. You will lose a lot of muscular glycogen because there's no carbohydrate coming in and so forth. But if you run the protein sparing modified fast, you will lose fat very, very fast. But your training protocol has to change. There's no way you can train hard. You have to lift heavy, low rep, 3 days a week max in the weight room, and the rest is walking. That's it. But you'll lose fat really, really well. So I recommend a lot of you guys like get back to that whole foods, use foods that are really wholesome. Lots of protein, but make the meals in a way that you can prep them in 5 to 10 minutes and they're on your plate. So I'll get some meals locked in for you, Lewis. And I'll find the 7-minute meals that Ben filmed. He filmed a couple of years ago. They're pretty good, to be fair. And I think the beef with arugula is in there as well with the sauerkraut. So we'll definitely get that one locked in for you.
Hey, Gavin, I sorry to jump in here, but I think what you just walked through, right? And you can push me back to Greg too, but I think what you just walked through, this ability to have some really solid go-to meals,
yep.
Or hey, like it would be helpful to hear like, hey, Gavin, what do you bake up from a vegetable perspective early in the week and how do you store it and stuff? Cause that's what I always struggle with. I get to the end of 3 or 4 days and there's no food left and I'm just like ravaged and I'm like, all right, what can I steal from the kids, you know? Stuff.
Yeah.
So I think it would be super helpful. And maybe I'm the only one, but I'm guessing there's probably other people too that could benefit from some of that.
Yeah, you're not alone, man. Honestly. I've been there myself, like sometimes where when I was dieting, I'm like, I have to be on point with this type of stuff, right? So I just found ways to make food still taste, you still want your food to taste good. You don't want to taste like shit, right? You don't, sometimes you don't eat some bland food all the time, but typically what I'll do, typically on a Sunday, typically it's a good day that you want to prep a load of foods. You got a little bit more time on a Sunday. So I'll make sure I got food prepped in terms of veggies, and I'll make sure that that's my shopping day. So I'm going to do a, I'll go to supermarket. I'll order some stuff in, but like lots of arugula. I'll do lots of beets where they're packaged up and they're pre-cooked. So all I got to do is open it up straight in. I'm not opposed to using like microwaved lentils and rice, like packaged stuff, like, so it's simple. I don't microwave it in the plastic. I'll make sure it's in the bowl. So I don't do anything. I don't cook in plastic or anything like that. And I always store the vegetables that I cook in glass in the fridge. So I'll remove as much plastic away as I can because I can control that, right? Sometimes I can't control all the plastic. I get that. But if I can and I cook it, I've always got glass containers that I store in the fridge. So typically what I do, Seth, Lewis, this might be good for you too. I love mushrooms. So I have a, going through my genetics, I went through, I need an up regulation of mushrooms in my diet due to ergothioneine levels. So I need to make sure I get a lot of that coming in. So I love mushrooms as well. So it's not a bad thing for me. But I'll put in my pan, I'll roast up, and I'll put herbs over these things as well, just to give a little bit more flavor and herbs and spices. I'll do bell peppers, I'll do zucchini, I'll do mushrooms, vegetables like that that I can put in the oven, just cook, like, and they're grilled. Right. And I know a few guys that are coming here to Tampa. We got places here. Jared, you might have had this when you were the last. I'm not too sure. But there's Fresh Kitchen here and there's Naked Farmer. If you go to those places, all they're doing is making bowls that I make at home. And they've cottoned onto this and they've made it so simple for people to get in and get fresh food in like minutes. You just go up, you go, I want two veggies, I want a rice, and I want these proteins, and I want some avocado on top. And like it's done. That's like fast food and it's good, fresh, whole food. So I just replicate that in my kitchen. So I'm like, well, if you look at all those veggies, I'll roast carrots, bell peppers, zucchini, mushrooms, green beans will go in there as well. And I'll just mix up the herbs and spices that I use on it. So if that's going in like two or three different pans, I'll cook a shit ton of it. A little bit of olive oil. I'll do some red wine vinegar just to add a little bit of flavor in there. I'll put some thyme on, salt and pepper. Garlic will go in as well if I want a little bit of garlic or anything like that. So you can do a big batch of onions in there as well. So if you want to mix some onions in, so you've got good prebiotic foods in there that are going to help the probiotics in your gut, and you've got lots of fiber going in. And then once that's done, I'll let that cool and I'll store that in glass containers. I'll put them in the fridge. So now I've got arugula in the fridge. I've got beets. I've got lots of veggies. You can cook a, one of the best things if you're going to use rice and things like that, just get a rice cooker. Like you can leave that on. And it's done. Like you don't have to even think about it. So rice cooker would be good. Or last resort, you could go packaged. I'm a big fan of lentils. I personally need more fiber in my diet. So if you want to bring your carbohydrate content down and fill yourself up, Rob, this might be one for you. I would use lentils. Very high fiber, more protein. It's still got some carbs in there, but it's going to slow gastric emptying, which is essentially what a GLP does anyway. So that'll do that too. And then all I'll do is I'll plate the veggies in the bowl. I'll heat up my carbohydrate sauce if it's lentils, if it's it might be sweet potato. So sometimes I might do sweet potato in the oven as well, Seth. So I got sweet potato going on. So I'll do my carbohydrate in there. And then as the protein is being cooked on the pan, I'm then plating all that up in the bowl. So the protein, typically, if I'm doing like chicken breast or chicken fillets or something like that, I'll typically go high heat or high to medium heat on the one side. I'll put a cover on top and I'll set the timer for 4 minutes is a quick prep tip. 4 minutes on the timer. Once that timer goes off, I'll flip them over. I'll reduce the heat to medium to low, put the lid back on, and I'll set the timer to 7 to 8 minutes. Once that's done, I'll turn the heat off and let it sit for two. So you're talking 12 minutes to cook chicken breast. And then I'll slice it up and I'll just add that to my heated veggies and rice or sweet potato, lentils, whatever it is, and I'm done. That's it. Simple. And that's my meals every day. So one day I'll have ground beef, one day I'll have chicken, one day I might have some salmon that I've cooked up or whatever. And one other thing that I typically do if I want a little bit of sauciness and sexiness on top, I'll do zero Greek yogurt and I'll mix hot sauce into that. So like low calorie hot sauce and just mix it. And there's a little bit more protein on top, but it's got like a little bit of juiciness and flavorsome on top, just to add that in instead of adding lots of different condiments or mayonnaise and all that type of stuff on top. So zero fracky Greek yogurt, low, like I think the, I don't know whether you guys get over there, but Melinda's hot sauce, like zero calorie in there, truffle flavored hot sauce. Like, yeah, there you go, red hot. Yep. Mix that up into your Greek yogurt, brother, and you're good to go.
Never would have thought to put it in Greek yogurt.
I'm not just a pretty face, Seth. There we go. Simple diet and tricks from Gav tonight. There we go. And then we were talking, like, we are talking transformations, and I didn't want to just give you like strategies for like, this is the best weekly training split and this is optimal rep range for hypertrophy. And like, everybody knows, like, all that information is there. You've got that over and over again. When I come on these calls, I want to get you unstuck. I want to give you strategies to make sure your week goes very effectively. And you can put things in place that's going to help you do it fast. You don't have to think about it too much, and it can sit into your system with whatever system you've got. And if that gets you unstuck, we're going to win. So that's what one of these calls will be about. Like, bring your struggles to the calls. Tell us where you're at. We'll get you unstuck and we're good to go. Does that help, boys? Seth, have you got strategies for meal prep now for when you're set?
Yeah, I'm further down the path. Okay. Chicken's right there.
There we go, boy. So what I'll do, I've got to do it for content on social media maybe as well. So what I'll do, I'll commit to filming a couple of meals for me cooking in the kitchen. Actually, I might not be able to do this on the calls when I'm back in the UK. Because it's like fucking midnight when I'm at home in the UK, and I'll be causing a ruckus in my kitchen and my kids will be up and, what's going on, Dad? You're cooking at midnight, whatever's going on. But what I used to do in my, before I came on with Muscle Intelligence, when I was doing online coaching for my other clients, we used to do it on a Monday. And no worries, Phil. Thanks for joining, brother. We used to do a recipe for that week. And they used to buy the ingredients. They used to come on the Zoom call. And I used to prep it there and then with them on the call. So I'd be like, right, do this. And we would go through the whole thing. And we would prep in 20 minutes, 4 days worth of lunches or 4 days worth of dinners. And it would be like oriental, like flavored herbs and spices. It might be like ginger, garlic, soy sauce, sesame oil. You mix all this up. That's your sauce-based stuff. And you would cook that into the veggies as you put in Chinese five spice on your chicken and stuff. And that's being cooked off. And like all of a sudden you bring it together. You add your rice to that. And all of a sudden, boom, you've got your veggies, you've got your chicken, you've got rice. And it's like these fantastic flavors from the Orient that you just brought to your kitchen, right? And we've all prepped it in 20 minutes and you've got four meals ready to go for the next 4 days. So I'll commit to filming a few meals like that. And I'll hit two birds with one stone. I'll put some on social media. I'll make sure I share the full length stuff with you guys. Put into the group. And then, but I want to see what you're cooking every week. So you got to commit to showing me what you're cooking, what you're prepping. I want to see how tasty they are. And we all commit to that. I think we're all going to win. How's that sound, boys? Fantastic. Well, boys, I hope that was helpful today. Thompson, I hope you're getting some good rest tonight. You got some travels to tomorrow, is it?
Yeah, I'm packing.
Good man. Mate, I can't wait to see you. I know Shalash, you're going to be in town very soon as well.
Hey, I'm leaving tomorrow too.
Good man. Good. John, you flying in tomorrow? You're muted, John.
Yeah, I'm going to leave home in about 16 hours.
Beauty, man. Well, mate, we're all looking forward to seeing you. We've got a good few days planned. The itinerary's in the group as well, so let's get a look at that. We've got a Saturday evening out as well.
Where do you usually eat at the Armature?
Well, this is the Armature Works is like quite a few vendors in there, so you can go to pick whatever you want for that evening, so to speak, and then we'll all meet up at the table.
I've started looking at menus, so.
Yeah, so depending on how hard we're training you, some people tend to go with the sushi. There's some other good stuff there as well. So you might need some carbohydrates on Saturday night. Maybe we got some good workouts planned.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, man. Clarky, you're coming in tomorrow as well, brother. Yeah.
Yes, sir. I'll get there around one.
Good man. Well, give us a
shout. I'm going to come right in for workout.
Get on it, boy. We might still be in the gym then. I've got some meetings tomorrow, but we might still be in the gym then. But give me a shout when you're okay.
Is there a secret handshake to get in, or
only for you?
All right.
You got the special one. Good boys. Gents, thanks so much for your time today. Hope that was helpful. And keep me posted on all your meal prep stuff. Let me know how you're getting on. Come back next week and let us know where you're stuck. If you're stuck with anything next week, let us know how you get on and we'll get you unstuck, boys. Jared, I look forward to chatting you next week, brother. Okay. Take care. Have a good one, boys.
Have a great weekend. Have a great week, guys.
Bye, guys.